What do you do when you have a husband or a wife that doesn't believe in Christ? How do you work this marriage out? Especially when they hate God, they don't want you to go to church, they don't want you reading your Bible, and they're doing all these things to come against you. Well, I thank God for Peter for giving us the answer here.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Royal Reese in Diamond Bar, California. We're glad to have you along for our series focused on helping you enjoy a strong, flourishing marriage. You know, it's easy to let differences and disappointments fracture your connection with your spouse. But today, Royal will challenge you to persevere in your relationship. Stay with us for a motivation to work at your marriage, honoring the Lord with your commitment to the vows you made on your wedding day. Here's Royal Reese with our study, An Exhortation to Wives and Husbands.
Now, there might be some of you that are here this morning that are ready to call it quits in your marriage. There may be others that are ready to call it quits, but at that same time, there are many of you that might say, you know what, I want a divorce. I'm sick and tired of the marriage. There's others of you that might already be separated or you're thinking of a separation. But what is it really, if you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, what is God's best for me today? And God's best is this. In the book of Malachi, in chapter 2, he says that God hates divorce. God hates divorce. It's not the unpardonable sin. But it surely does damage to so many people, like dominoes. When it hits one, it hits the rest of the family. It hits all your friends. It hits everybody that knows you. Peter here is concerned that Christian wives are to live with unsafe husbands and they're to win them to the Lord. It was a situation where Peter had been instructing about slaves and women because there was a real issue in that Roman culture where women and slaves were looked down on. You see? Women had no rights in that culture, in the first century culture. Women were literally used not only as a wife to have children, but then the husband would have a concubine for his pleasure. And this was the culture and the mentality that Peter is writing under. And at the same time, he's talking about a marriage, especially if you're married to a non-believer and you're a believer, male or female. The husband is a Christian or the wife is and the husband's not. What do you do when you have a husband or a wife that doesn't believe in Christ? How do you work this marriage out? Especially when they hate God, they don't want you to go to church, they don't want you reading your Bible. They're constantly hassling you, they're nagging you to death, and they're doing all these things to come against you. Well, I thank God for Peter for giving us the answer here, for speaking to our hearts. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14, it says, be you not unequally yoked together with a non-believer, for what fellowship has light with darkness? We know that. And it's really important that you understand that, especially if you're single here, you say, well, this is not for me today. Oh, you will be married one day, so listen up. You're going to need it one day. Because you never know who you're going to marry unless you really wait on the Lord and the Lord lets you know this is the one. Listen to what Peter says now in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, as even if some do not obey the word, they without the word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outwardly arranging of hair, wearing of gold, or putting on fine dress. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. The first thing we notice here in six verses, he's speaking to women and only one verse to men. Interesting. Why? Because it's the opposite. In the book of Ephesians, he talks only two verses to women, and then he uses so many verses to men to share with them the responsibility. And again, at the same time, is the fact is that the men and women are both saved, and there are no guarantees, even if you're saved, that your marriage will be successful. No guarantees. Why? Because marriage is something that we have to work at. Success is not automatic. And yet, when one marries a partner who is not a Christian, matters can become very difficult in the life of that person. Peter here is addressing in this section of his letter Christian wives who had unsaved husbands, telling them how to win their mates to Jesus Christ. Then he adds some really important admonition for Christian husbands, which we'll see in verse 7. But yet, no matter what marital status may be today in your life, you can learn from Peter the essentials for a happy, successful marriage, in not only in this present time, but in the time to come if you are not married. You notice that Peter uses the phrases in the same manner or in like manner. It refers back to Peter's discussion when Jesus Christ was being the example. Peter was talking in 1 Peter chapter 2, 22 to 25 concerning Jesus being submissive and obedient to the Father. That he left this example for every husband and wife, every child of God. Submission and obedience. Now, why do we say that? It's because always in the marriage, people are always taking the authority and saying, you better submit. A word that is used in a marriage constantly. Do we really understand what the word submit means? It's not a word to be used lightly. It is really a military word. It's a word that speaks to be under orders. When I submit to the general, I submit to the captain or to the lieutenant. When he says something to me, I don't say, well, maybe I might do that. No, I do it. And I do it quickly. But in the Christian walk, as Paul the Apostle in Ephesians chapter 5, there at the beginning of the wives and husbands, the previously to that, he's saying that husband and wife are to submit to one another in the fear of God. And that is hupotasso in the Greek. It means to be underneath Christ. Husband and wife both are to be in submission to Jesus Christ, and then the marriage can work. But you just can't have one and not the other. Both people have to be submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. There is so much to learn even today. It's really important that we understand that if we imitate the best models, we will become not only better people and better achievers, but if we imitate the wrong models in our home to our children, to our daughters or sons, or whoever else is there, it will cripple our lives and possibility of ruining our character and their character in the home. Happens all the time in marriages. And yet, the role models that will be followed will be those that are role modeling who? The Lord Jesus Christ, the one that has been given to us to imitate. Mommies and daddies need to listen to what God's word says. When Christian couples try to imitate the world and get their standards from the world instead of or from the Word of God, there will be trouble in the home with the husband, the wife, and the children, and later on in life, the grandchildren. It's just a matter of time. That's why here Peter is pointing to Sarah as a model for Christian wives to follow. Even though she's back in the past, for sure, Sarah was not perfect, but she proved to be a good helpmeet to Abraham, and she is the one in a few women that is named in the Hall of Fame in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. She's in there in the Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. We must spend time with each other, meditating in God's word, praying together. That's part of the marriage. The husband taking the leadership of his home with his wife. And let me say something, ladies. When your husband is the head and he's loving and he's kind and he's doing what he's supposed to be biblically, listen, you won't have any problem submitting to him. You'll do it. Because that's God's order that is given to us.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Reese. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com for resources to support you in growing closer to your spouse and to the Lord. If you have prayer requests that you'd like to share with Roel, you can email him anytime at PastorRoel@SomebodyLovesYou.com. Now, back to more of today's lesson.
Now, here in chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, we begin to see here that there's three things that Peter talks about. First of all, submission is an act of love. Write that down. An act of love. It's not something that we demand. It is not something forceful. It is something that is willing. In love, it comes through that person. When you're really loving that person. An act of love. Look what he says in verse 1, the first part of the verse. Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands. You see, if both parents will imitate the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives and in their submission and their obedience to God, then the direct desire of others will be to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in the home. But if they see rebellion in the mother, rebellion in the father, and you're trying to teach your children, now don't do this, but you do it, you're a hypocrite. You're destroying it. You're doing damage to your children. Because you're the enforcer, and yet you don't practice what you preach. You see, we have to be careful. That if you're a mother today, you will be one day. You'll be a wife. It is important that you submit to Jesus Christ as you submit to your husband for the best of your marriage and what God intends to do with your husband. Wives are to submit to their husbands because they are being loved husbands. You need to love your wife. She'll respond when you love her. When you don't love her, she will not respond. That is the command by God himself to husbands. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. A husband is to die for his wife, just like Christ died for the church. You see? And the children will see that when a husband is sensitive to his wife and to the needs of his wife. Then Peter again, secondly, says that submission also is an opportunity that God gives us. An opportunity. Look what he says in the second part of the verse, chapter 3, verse 1b, and then verse 2. That even as some do not obey the word, without the word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct, accompany it with fear. You see, an opportunity for what? You say, to win an unsaved husband to Christ. How do you do that? You say, well, the husband will never be saved. And I'll tell you this, the husband will never be saved by nagging or preaching. But he will always come to the lordship of Jesus Christ in due time when a wife is submitting to the Lord. But her submission and understanding and love and kindness and patience will be given to her by the Lord. By the Lord. He's your husband, men, if your husband's not right now. These qualities are not to be manufactured. They are the fruit of the Spirit that comes when one is submitted to Christ and one truly has love through the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You cannot produce it. It is only produced by the Holy Spirit. Supernaturally, not naturally. Look at verse 3 now. Submission is an ornament too. Through verse 6. Do not let your adornment be merely outward arranging of hair, wearing of gold, putting on a fine dress. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. And Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Here, Peter is warning the Christian wife not to major in the external decorations, but the internal character. And surely today, we are into the what? The external. Look around. And yet, as Christians, we have to be moderate. Moderate. We don't set up rules and regulations. The Bible is very clear. Today we're living in a very sensual society where everybody's showing everything they want to show. Very hard for people today, for the Christians. And yet, how should a woman that is a Christian, is a wife, or maybe single, how should she appear before the world, Peter tells you here? That's what young men should be looking for in a woman. Not how beautiful she's outside, but how beautiful is the inside. Does she love God? And the same thing with these women looking to the guys. God wants us to follow His word. The true beauty has to come from the heart, not from the store. Older Christian women need to be examples to the younger women as mothers. As mothers and grandmothers to their daughters. We need to have great examples, especially in the days that we're living in. But then on the other side, now in verse 7, look what he says. Husbands, likewise dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Only one verse, but powerful verse. What is he saying? That if your relationship with your wife is not right, your prayers are not going anywhere. They're bouncing off the wall. You see, Peter here exhorts Christian husbands to give their wives two gifts of love. Number one, understand them. And two, respect them. Understand them and respect them. That's what Peter's saying. Why did Peter devote more space to instructing wives and husbands? Because the Christian wife, there at that time, were experiencing a whole new situation and needed guidance because they were as dogs. They were treated badly. They were verbally, physically abused. When a man would walk down the street in Rome, his wife would not walk next to him. He walked behind like a dog. And the New Testament, because of Jesus Christ, He came to set women free from the bondage that they were under before Jesus came. Women were abused. They were used as puppets, you see? But yet we have the great examples from the Old Testament unto the New Testament. And the first thing the husband needs to do is that he needs to have that physical responsibility to dwell with them, to dwell with your wife. Husband, likewise, dwell with them. You see? God is giving you the command. This is more of a living together in marriage. That's why Paul in Ephesians 5:31 said, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mama and be joined or glued together to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." You see? Two become one flesh. The husband must make time to be with his wife. Secondly, intellectual responsibility a man has. You're supposed to be with your wife dwelling according to knowledge. What does that mean? To understand her. You say, "I don't understand my wife. I don't know where she's at. It's amazing that two people can live together in the same home and yet be strangers. Strangers. You see this more once your children grow up, and then the wife is alone at home, and now the husband's alone, and they've grown apart this way. And now the nest is empty. And a lot of husbands, they don't know how to work back that relationship because they've been so separate for so long. They're not sensitive that now your wife, it needs you, and you need to make a partnership even greater as you get older with each other together. Otherwise, you have nothing in the home. There's a lot of lonely women today that are starving for communication. And yet, a Christian husband needs to know his wife's moods, feelings, needs, fears, hopes. He needs to sit down and listen with an open heart and an open ear. He needs to sit there and love his wife so that she feels protected and loved, and that she's not going to be left alone. You see? They want security. They want to know that you love them and that you're there for them. And if they don't have that security, then they're unstable and they're insecure in themselves, and they'll challenge you in every area of your life. And do you give them that security through the Lord Jesus Christ? As you get close to the heart of God, you'll get close to the heart of your wife. And then thirdly and finally, emotional responsibility, giving honor, notice, unto the wife. In verse 7 he said, give honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life. Peter did not suggest that the wife is the weaker vessel mentally, morally, or spiritually, but physically. There are expectations in women, but generally speaking, the man is the stronger of the two when it comes to physical accomplishments. We know that. And yet, the husband should treat his wife like an expensive, beautiful, fragile vase in which there's a precious treasure inside of it. That's the way Christ treats the church. That's the way Jesus treats us. A special treasure before him because he loves us so much.
As we've heard today, a healthy marriage requires constant care, and we hope today's lesson has been an inspiration for you to be more intentional about nurturing your relationship with your spouse. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's lesson in its complete form, just call us at 800-634-9165, and for a donation of $5 or more, we'll send a copy of the lesson, Exhortations to Wives and Husbands. We'd also like to offer you Raul's entire 30-part marriage series. It's available on both CD and flash drive. Outlining God's specific roles for each of you as husband and wife, this resource will equip you with the tools and encouragement you need to pursue a stronger union. You'll get a challenge to spend more time together in the Word and in prayer as you anchor your home in God's ways. To order Raul's 30-lesson marriage series, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We'll send you the CD set for $45 or the thumb drive for $30. That's 800-634-9165. You can also order this resource by writing us at Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. The Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel is a hub of excellent biblical teaching, both live streamed and on podcast. Join Raul for Straight Talk on that channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time. You'll also find podcasts of all of our archived radio programs on iTunes and Spotify. We're a listener-supported ministry, and we are so grateful for your partnership. Every gift helps us reach more people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Tune in again next time as we continue this marriage series with a special word for those whose spouse has not yet received Christ.
you'll be encouraged to wait on the Lord's timing and to trust in His ability to change hearts through the power of His Holy Spirit. Here's Raul once again with a closing comment from today's teaching.
Giving honor means that the husband respects his wife's feelings, thinking, desires. It's not just you. The husband must be a thermostat in the home setting, the emotional, spiritual temperature, where the wife often is a thermometer. She sits as a thermometer, letting him know what temperature it is. You see? But the husband is a thermostat. And it's really important that you understand that God is pleased with husband and wives, especially those that are in submission to Him. He'll anoint you, He'll use you, and guess what, man? Your prayers will be answered. They'll be answered when you pray.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.